Merry Christmas and happy holidays, everyone. Today is December 23rd, which also is the anniversary of the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserving anything. That's a whole other subject. But during this holiday season, it's important to keep in mind that the only time Jesus used violence was against the money changers. So when people ask, what would Jesus do? Just remember that going into a temple and flipping over tables and whipping bankers is not outside the realm of possibility. And episode 3 that we recorded gets into the history of central banking and also gets into Macron and how he's tied into the central banking. But anyways, I made this video back in 2016 that explains why we are all slaves to central bankers. This was recorded on Facebook Lives and a few times it cuts in and out, and I edited those out. This is very important information to understand. It was not political. It's not about being a Republican or being a Democrat. I mean, basically, if you're alive today, you're getting screwed by the system. So I'd ask you to, you know, in the name of the holiday spirit and in the name of Jesus, to actually watch this video, because it's very important that this information gets out. And unfortunately, this information is not very well known.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Pichot, and today I just want to make a really quick video explaining how we are all slaves to central bankers. And so what I want to do, and I don't want this to be a really long video, really long drawn out, but actually first let me make sure. But how the financial system works, and I'll bring this a little bit closer, is you've got the Treasury Department. Draw a little box there. You've got the Fed, which isn't federal, but that's for another day. And then you've got the two big to fail mega banks. Up here, if I could draw a giant blood-sucking squid, maybe I would. But how things worked from 2008 into 2014, what was happening is that, this part has always happened. So the Treasury gives the authority to print money or to just enter ones and zeros on a computer. They give that authority to the Federal Reserve. Then the Federal Reserve from 2008 to 2014. Was allowing the two big to fail mega banks to borrow that money between 0 and 0.25% interest. Then what was happening is that they were then lending the money back, they were then selling the money, the bonds back to the Fed, to the tune of the Fed ended up now has a balance sheet of $4.4 trillion. And so what they're talking about now is actually selling these bonds, getting them off their books and then into the public. So if the intent of doing this program was to stimulate the economy, then if we're doing the opposite of that, then wouldn't the end result be the opposite of that, where it ends up hurting the economy? So where I'm going with this is that the big mega banks, since they are then lending it back to the Fed at, let's say, 3% or 2%, there's an arbitrage in there where they're just making money on everything they're doing. So they're basically getting free money. So if I'm saying, hey, I'll sell this to you for a dollar, and then I'll buy it right back for $3. I mean, who the hell wouldn't want to get in on that deal? It's an amazing deal. And I don't know why this is going full screen again. But what I'm saying is that this entire system is fraudulent, because why can't the American people just borrow money from ourselves and not even have to pay interest on it? The whole thing is a scam. And the biggest part of the scam that most people don't realize is that since our money is actually created from debt, what that means is that in 1913, when the Fed was created, actually on the day before Christmas Eve, when there was only a couple people on the floor, but that's, again, it's a whole other story. So the very first dollar that was created had 4% interest on it. So that meant after year one, you owed $1.04. Now, if you only created $1, then how do you ever pay back $1.04? Well, then you've got to borrow another dollar. And so why the system is basically rigged is you've got, let's say you've got the debt here, and this represents the debt. And then let's say the money is over here, and the money is, you're gonna have less money because, you know, there's interest on the debt and not in the money. If you actually go to, let's say, pay off your debt, what you're doing is you're actually decreasing the monetary supply. So if you could actually take all the money in existence, use it to pay off all the debt, and what would happen is there'd be a deflationary spiral, then a hyperinflation, where the money would become absolutely, the whole system would basically implode. And I think rather than me rambling in on this right now, what I want to do is actually show you guys a quick video that I have. So I'm going to turn this around. I didn't make this up. It's called Hidden Secrets of Money, Part 4. We'll get zoomed in on here and we'll get this playing.
But first, we need to understand the mumbo jumbo of the so-called debt ceiling. It's all based on a huge paradox. There was interest due on that bond, and there was interest due on every one of those loans that the banks made. That means that there is interest due on every dollar in existence. Let me ask you something. If you borrow the very first dollar into existence, and that's the only dollar that exists on the planet, but you promise to pay it back plus another dollar's worth of interest, where do you get the second dollar to pay the interest? The answer is that you have to borrow that one into existence and promise to pay it back with interest as well. So now there are $2 in existence, but you owe $4, and so on and so on. The result is there's never enough currency to pay the debt. There is always more debt in the system than there is currency in existence to pay the debt. Therefore, the whole system is impossible. It is finite. It will come to an end one day. What would happen if the government stopped borrowing to do deficit spending? Are the payments on those treasury bonds going to stop? What would happen if the public stopped borrowing and going deeper into debt? Are your house and car payments going to stop? No. There is a payment due every month on the principal plus the interest on every dollar in existence, and those payments do not stop. If we stop borrowing, then no new currency is created to replace the currency that we used to make those payments. Whether you're making a payment on a loan or paying tax to make a payment on a bond, the portion of the payment that goes to pay off the principal extinguishes that portion of the debt. But the debt also extinguishes the currency. Currency and debt are like matter and antimatter. When they meet, they annihilate each other. If we just pay off the principal only on all the loans and bonds that exist, the entire currency supply just vanishes. So if we don't go deeper into debt every year, look what happens. The whole thing goes into a deflationary collapse under the weight of those payments. Politicians and...
Okay, so again, if you guys want to see that entire video that is called Hidden Secrets of Money, which is one of the videos that I stumbled across. And so when you see all these politicians talking about, you know, we're going to get rid of the debt, or we're going to lower the debt, it's basically mathematically impossible at this point to do anything. And even from day one, it's mathematically impossible, because of the very first dollar you created, the whole system is based on debt. Now, you have people like Abraham Lincoln, who, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Abraham Lincoln, but one of the things he said was, I have an army in front of me, that's the South, and I have an army of European bankers at my rear, and I far more fear the army at my rear. You've got other guys like Thomas Jefferson, who, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, who said things along the lines of, ever allow private central banks to issue the currency and credit of our nation, our grandchildren are going to end up homeless on the continent our forefathers conquered, first by inflation, then by deflation. And then it goes on and on and on. And then you've got guys like Andrew Jackson saying, you know, you guys are a den of vipers, and by eternal God, I shall rout you out. And again, I'm not just saying this as some layman. I was probably one of the youngest people ever to pass the certified financial planner exam. So I've got, you know, the proof up there. I don't know if that's coming in right, but, you know, I was on the class. When it comes to this stuff, I mean, this is my absolute main wheel at work right now, trying to make it home, see my kids. But hope you guys found this valuable, and this is probably more of the videos that I'm going to be coming out with soon. So
thank you for watching our latest video or listening to our latest podcast. Now, a lot of people are probably finding out about me for the very first time, and I take full responsibility for not doing a good enough job marketing myself, if that is the case. In any event, the Liberty Advisor podcast is meant to be informative with evergreen content and not just a show complaining about what's currently going on. If this is a podcast that you've only recently discovered, we'd like to invite you to check out some of our past episodes. And for some more background, the months leading up to the election, I was really mad at the Libertarian Party. Basically, they were acting like socialists. You had Bill Weld talking about gun control. And at that point, I just completely lost it and decided, you know what, I'm done representing the Libertarian Party. What I'm going to do now is try to have libertarians vote for Trump. And there is, you know, a lot of good things that Trump did do that I thought he was going to, but I didn't think it'd be the end all be all that all of a sudden now we've elected Trump and, all our problems are solved. But some of the other things I did was, you know, I helped popularize the term fake news, probably was one of the first, if not the first. I have not seen someone who had the list before me. What we did is I had a list called Fake News List that ended up going viral. And not saying I'm the first person to ever string those two words together, but I did think that I was probably the first person to appropriate that term from the left and at least have it go viral. But with Trump winning, I didn't think that all of a sudden, it'd be a new day for America. You know, he did a lot of good things, such as, getting us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. And we had all the different, basically prevented, World War III with Russia, or at least we helped postpone that. Obviously, Hillary didn't get in, another good benefit. Now we're seeing drawdowns in the war on Syria, which, Obama told us was not going to be a war. Same thing with Afghanistan as well. We get to at least keep the Second Amendment for a little while longer, although there was a bump stock ban that I was not a big fan of. And, just a ton of other things that are positives, especially, the culture of now knowing about fake news and not trusting the media. So, I don't want to, rain on this parade and make it sound like there's nothing good that's been done. But if there was, 999 promises that were kept and out of 1,000, and the one thing that wasn't done was reining in the Fed or ending the Fed or, shining light on the Fed. And right now, yeah, he is shining some light on the Fed, but the light is, hey, how come you're not, keeping the bubble going for me too, instead of pointing out that the Fed shouldn't even exist in the first place. But, that's really enough about that. And what I want to get into is I had a presentation at the Arizona Breakfast Club called The Trump Effect and Why Good News is Bad News. And really the entire premise of that is that Donald Trump coming in would be good news, at least for all the people sitting on the sidelines. And now you'd probably see the market go up. But what would happen, especially from like the repatriation of money and the tax cut, is that companies would bring their money back here. They'd buy back their own stock. That would temporarily, and again, it's important to note, this would temporarily make the stock market go up. And what I want to do is have my clients win at the end of the game. Doesn't matter who's winning in the third quarter. Doesn't matter. It only matters who's winning at the end of the game. So what I thought that the premise would be that all this good news would now lead to the Fed not having the excuse to not raise rates, which would then lead to bad news with the rates going up. And we've got more on this a little bit later on. But again, this was something where you guys can go back to this episode 12, I believe. And I messed up some numbering in the beginning. So actually, I don't have an episode 13. I figure, hey, if you're going to be off by one episode, 13 is probably a lucky one to leave out. Again, that was recorded from an audio camera, so not the best audio quality. Episode 10, we have an interview with Doug Casey and Ernest Hancock on Ernest Hancock Show. And I ended up getting Doug, scheduled him, and figured, hey, I'd kill two birds in one stone. Great place to find out about the global economic slowdown. Episode 16 gets into, and I'm trying to find it over here, gets into, let's just try to keep finding it over here. I got to scroll down. Here we go. It's called Why America's Pension System Will Fail. The title is pretty self-explanatory, but I also get into one of the biggest risk investors face, which is sequence of return risk, and how that plays into an impending pension collapse. Highly recommend that one. We've got episode 18, which is Tim Predicts the Vol Cost. Trying to find it. There we go, right there. And on this episode of the Ernest Hancock Show, I said the worst thing someone could do. And again, the Dow was at almost 27,000. And what it was, the day or two before the high. And then we just recently hit a high again in late September that pretty much got just like a tiny, tiny bit over that, over where we were back in January. So the worst thing an investor can do would be short the volatility index, which in layman's terms means you're betting that the amount of volatility in the stock market would go down, and it was already at an all-time low. I thought it was the dumbest thing you could possibly do. I said it on air. 2 weeks later, that volatility index completely blew up. A lot of people were borrowing money. They were on leverage, and there was at least I know of one fund that went completely belly up. All the investors lost all their money in that fund, and there were several more that were down, well over 80, 90%. And this was something I saw coming a mile away, or ended up being 2 weeks away. Episode 19, Ian Freeman of Free Talk Live interviewed me at Anarchapoco. He's also the guy that told Roger Ver, who's also known as Bitcoin Jesus, about Bitcoin. And I'm going to play a little bit from that recording because you guys can see that this was taken in February live at Anarchapoco. And I was just so spot on everything back then. And it's my fault that you guys don't know about me and weren't able to protect your portfolios ahead of time. And so I want to, figure it's better late than never. And here we are, going to play a little clip of that.
Document of ongoing financial collapse as it occurs.
So the financial collapse, now let's talk a little bit about that. And then we can talk about you and what your path and journey has been so far to liberty. So what kind of collapse are we talking about here? Are we talking about the collapse of the U.S. dollar?
I think ultimately it leads to the collapse of the U.S. dollar, because right now the Federal Reserve is in a rock and a hard place. That's of their own doing. so I don't feel sorry for them at all. But there's really three things they're trying to save. They're trying to save the stock market, the bond market, and the dollar. The real biggie right now is the bond market, because you've seen, we're able to pay attention, the interest rates just the past 2 months have shot up dramatically. So they've gone from about 2.4% to about 2.8%, which might not sound like a lot, but when you have over $100 trillion of unfunded obligations, just imagine what that does to the interest payments. And so the Federal Reserve right now is in this pickle right now where, and again, this is something that I was documenting about 13 months ago. I gave a presentation on Ernie's show called The Trump Effect and Why Good News is Bad News. And the premise is, and I'm doing this in little air quotes right now, but we've got so much good news, and again, in air quotes, good news, in terms of inflation being above 2%, the job numbers, we know they're rigged, but, you know, they're supposedly low. So the Fed is losing cover to not raise rates. So during the, you know, 8 years of Obama, it was a constant flow of bad news. So the Fed kept kicking the can down the road. They kept getting excuses to not raise rates. Well, now, you know, Trump the other day tweeted out, I don't understand why there's so much good news, yet the stock market goes down like there's bad news. I'm like, well, you should have listened to the presentation 13 months ago, because the real enchilada is not the stock market. It's the bond market. Because when the rates go up, whether it's the market dictating the rates or the Federal Reserve raising rates.
So the Fed cannot save the dollar, the bond market, and the stock market. And if you listen to all my financial podcasts, you'd be able to see exactly why. And if you think that, hey, you know, this is all I have to offer in terms of podcasts that I've come out with, you'd be mistaken, because we're only about halfway through. So moving on here, we have episode 22, where it gets into Donald Trump, where he sounded like me as a candidate. And essentially, you know, either he gets into, you know, we called, you know, I think it was like 26 different times. He said that the unemployment rate was the phoniest rate ever. If you go to howitsrigged.com, I wrote a book where it outlines, you know, how the inflation rate, the unemployment rate, and the GDP data is all basically gamed. And so that episode is going to be called The Government Odds of Financial Success is Zero. So you see this right here on the screen. Episode 29 gets into, it's called Everything Will Be Fine Until the Day It's Not. And we are recording this on December 23rd, 2018 right now. And if you just look back to the past week, you'll see all that came true. So trying to find exactly where that one is. Here we go. We've got it right there. Episode 30 is a great 8-minute clip that's called The Perfect Financial Storm is Brewing. And this was produced back in May. And also recently just found out that there was another video that I made. I didn't find out. I found it because I lost it at the time, or mislabeled it at the time. And it was dealing with the extreme stock market valuations. Again, this is May 2018. That episode is not released yet, but it probably will be soon, or it might already be released by the time you guys see this. Episode 32 gets into, is this really the longest recovery ever? Or I think it was called, this is the longest recovery ever. Actually, it's called Wall Street Celebrates Longest Bull Market Rally Ever, or Is It? And Potential Black Swans That Could Derail the Recovery. This was, I believe, late August. So you can go back and see that. August 21st. Episode 36 was recorded October 2nd, released October 4th. This was originally a client-only video getting into the extreme valuations of a lot of the most popular stocks that were out there, all the, you know, FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Also documented how the housing and auto bubble had already burst, and how I was pretty flabbergasted that nobody was actually talking about this. We've got episode, let me try to find that. So we've got episode 36. And now at this point, it's a lot easier to find the episodes because now they are numbered at this point. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, they're already numbered. If you're watching this like in 2020 or 2019, episode 37 asks, are we in a bear market and how we're protecting our clients from this? I'd skip the first 10 minutes because, again, this was meant for clients, but if you go on from after that, I think it'll be valuable information. Episode 38 gets into how this has been the worst year on record in terms of percentage of assets that are actually in decline. You know, the name kind of gives it away. I know this name of the next one, episode 39, gives this away as well. And it says, even Jim Cramer is sounding the alarms. But unlike Cramer, I'm not playing both sides of this. So that way I've got audio clips no matter what happens. You guys can audit, you know, the 50 times I've been on Ernest Hancock Show, you know, the over 50 podcasts we have over here. Even though it's episode, you know, we're only at episode 39, we have ones that are on crypto as well. We also have tons of Facebook, I probably did, you know, 100 Facebook Lives on this before we even started the podcast. So when I say we've done over 50, it's probably closer to well over 100. We've got episode 41, which was just released today, and it's called The Global Everything Bubble. We get into it with the economist John Sneason of World Alternative Media. And this podcast really differs from a lot of the other ones because we spend a great deal of time getting into what's happening around the world, not just America. And John's an awesome person to break all this stuff down. And as you can see, you know, not too many Trump supporters were, you know, warning about, you know, Trump stepping into this trap that was going to be laid by the Federal Reserve. I was warning about this well before, before he was even in office, January 2017, I was warning about this. Also, how many financial advisors correctly predicted Trump was going to win, but then were smart enough to not be fooled and have everybody go 100% aggressive, but then also position clients to take basically to help protect themselves when the interest rates did rise and when you know, central asset, whether the central bank asset purchases would eventually be halted, because that's the time when, you know, we really see who's left swimming naked. So our clients own the major stock averages, rode the market up all the way, and then we, in mid-2018, we put them in put options, which have soared in value, in some cases up over 200% the past 2 weeks, depending on which what put option we're talking about. And if you don't know anything about options, the last thing I would do is start trading options on this, as it would be just same thing like Bitcoin. If you don't know anything about Bitcoin, don't get into Bitcoin, and don't get into options either if you don't know what you're talking about. But you know, as the market continues to deteriorate, our clients will be able to invest into assets on sale. And this was a strategy to be kind of the least worst off, where yeah, you'd still lose money, but you would be a finite amount of money you can lose. And in most cases, it's low single digits losses or high single digit losses, depending on when you know, they move their money over from one custodian to another to take advantage of that strategy. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, odds are your financial advisor knows nothing about financial, knows nothing about the financial market, knows nothing about central banking, knows nothing about Austrian economics, knows nothing about blockchain. So we invite you guys to give us a try. We can tell you exactly how much risk is in your portfolio. We could tell you if 2007-08 were to happen again, how much we would expect you to go down. And then ideally, we'd show you a recommended portfolio that would probably have a lot more upside. I can pretty much guarantee you'd have less downside, unless you're just camping out 100% in cash, and it probably would have less downside risk, unless the government decides, hey, we're going to print $10 trillion, and now all of a sudden your portfolio was exposed to massive inflation risk, because now that could make the market soar and you would have been left out. So, you know, you can't just keep everything in cash permanently, because that's a good way to go broke safely, although there is, you know, use cases for keeping cash if you've got the balls to go back in and invest back when nobody wants to. But I'd invite you guys all to head over to thelibertyadvisor.com to not only subscribe to the podcast, but also to check, make an appointment with us. We can help secure your investments, put you on a better path to take advantage of what we see coming down the pipeline. And you know, this is subject to change. As central bank policy changes, at some point our strategy will change as well. But in the meantime, God bless, and thank you for listening.